Hello, and welcome to Northeast Christian Church's online service. We're so excited to have you with us. Make sure to subscribe to NECC on all social media platforms. And to listen to our messages, follow us on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Thank you and enjoy the service.
I don't know if you knew this, but I am your pastor and am handicapped by a natural immaturity. My maturity level is about middle school, maybe fourth, fifth grade. And so for 20 years, part of what I did with ministry was work with kids. And so I asked permission if it would be okay if I could help with this service and share a word with you. And so we're going to have fun. We're going to, real quick, if you would turn to your spouse or to your special someone or to your kid, and you would say, you're going to have fun today. Would you do that? And then say, or else. Or else. Couple of other things, just to let you know, that this Sunday and every Sunday in the back, as you walk in, we have earplugs. And so if you ever feel that the music's too loud or whatever, I have an ear condition. Sometimes you'll see me with one in because I have a damaged eardrum. But I always sit in front of the music. Probably not good. But we are going to have a good time. So here's what I like to do. I want to see everybody sitting up straight, hands in your laps, mouths closed, eyes looking forward at me. No wiggling, jiggling, talking to your neighbor, hitting your friend, because we are going to have a good time. That is right, Spencer, because we're going to put our hands out. Everybody put your hands like this. Put your hands out. I'm looking right at all of you. Put them out. Now, here's what you need to do. You need to follow my lead. All right? Follow my lead. The Bible says that the streets will be filled with children playing there. When it talks about what heaven looks like on earth, it says in Zechariah that the streets will be filled with children playing there, which means that we never want to lose that heart of a kid that can knock a balloon in the air and smile. So I need you to get in unity with me. And so as we do it, we're going to do it together in unity. Ready? And one, 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 and two, 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 and three, 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 and four, 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 and five, 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 five. Five. It's in the wrists. You got to put some attitude in it. One, two, three. Ta. It's in the wrists and the head and the neck. Ready? Try it with me. One, two, three. Ta. Put a little Lowell attitude into it. Ready? One, two, or Lawrence, whichever you're from. Ready? One, two, three. Haverhill. That's where I'm from. All right. So here it is. My question for you is this. And I know the answer, and you know the answer, but you need to say it and play it with me, okay? We're going to do some MMA martial arts, you know, here. We're going to go, does Jesus love you? And we're going to go, yes, 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 yes. Ready? Why are you laughing at me? All right, ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Does Jesus love you? Yes, 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 yes. That was weak. Let me have the kids show you adults how it's done. Are you a kid here? Yell, yes. All right, we need to show the adults how to have fun because they get old and crusty and they watch too much TV and then they don't know how to have fun and they stop watching cartoons. So I'm going to ask you, does Jesus love you? And I want you as loud as you can to say it with me. Yes, 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 yes. Ready? Here we go. Kids, does Jesus love you? Yes! That's good. Adults, join us for this. Did he die on the cross for your sins? Yes, yes, yes. And is he here by his Spirit to lead us into all truth? The answer is? Yes, 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 yes. All right, here's what I'd like for you to do. You're going to need to stand to your feet all across this room. Yes, saving face is out the window today. We are going to call the cheese squeeze. And so what I'd like for you to do is to just go with me, screaming as loud as you can. You're going to lift your hands, and you're going to bring them together in a clap, but you're going to follow in unity with me, everybody doing the same thing at the same time. So here we go. One, two, scream. Ow! That was pretty good. That was pretty good. All right, take a deep breath in. Here we go. One more time, as loud as you can. One, two, three. Ow! Wow. Some of you are getting red in the face. All right, here we go. I'd love for you to stay in unity. Everybody doing the same thing at the same time. Anyone can run their own show. Anyone can scream when they're not happy. Anybody can do their own thing. But it takes a special group of people being in unity, doing the same thing at the same what? That's right. Because if you don't keep your eye on the leader, you get out of unity. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. You may be seated. And yeah, that's pretty impressive. And so, you know, the thing about kids is that you just got to go with the flow. You got to go with the flow. And sometimes we forget that, don't we? Sometimes, you know, some of you have little ones and they get squeaky and squawky in here. You know what? Sometimes a kid needs to be pulled out. We have a nursing mom's room there. We have an overflow room in the back. But there's nothing wrong with helping them and coming back in. But you know what? I never want anyone in this church to ever feel bad about their kids just learning how to sit in church. And if you're sad, you cry too, right? So we understand that. We want you to know you're in a great place here. We love our kids. They are the most important thing in your life. I could say, do you want $1 million or have your child? And you can only pick one. Every parent would say $1 million, right? No, we would say our children. You know why? Because our children are the future. Now, is there an usher in the back? Usher, could you please get my wife real quick? We have a tradition and she hates it. And so I just want you kids here at church to know that when it comes to having a wife, you need to treat her special and right. And so, honey, she's here. I have gone out of my way to get you flowers. Now, the red stands for the love. The yellow stands for the friendship. The white for the child. But we don't have any white ones in here. Do you see this? But we used to do this tradition, and she hates it. I think every kid needs to see their mom and dad kiss. So if you would just cheer this on, if you would just, Diana, come up here. I know I told you, I would never do this to you, but you got to say it with me. Kiss. Kiss. Come on. Help me out here. This is how babies happen. Here goes. Let me.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Man, she is something else. You take my breath away, miss. And she's out there making cotton candy and popcorn with the others for every kid that's sitting up straight, with the hands in their laps, their mouths closed, their eyes looking forward at me. I want to tell you a story in the Bible. It's not that bad. I want to tell you about your faith and about the fire that the enemy can bring against it and the fire of God with it. Yeah, I'm serious. And here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to read that Bible story to you, but before I do that, I'd like to tell you about that Bible story. And after we do that, I'd like for you to get involved in the Bible story. All questions must be submitted in writing 6 weeks in advance. Please have a seat right there next to Mom. Write those questions out, and we'll take care of them next week, okay? Sound good? No? Okay. I like a woman who knows what she wants. All right, so here's what we're going to do. There's a story about three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? But when you think in terms of these guys, we'll just call them Rack, Shack, and Benny, because that's what VeggieTales did. And so Rack, Shack, and Benny were three guys that loved Jesus with all of their heart. But there was a president in this country, a king, and he thought that he deserved to be worshipped as God. And so he built a golden statue. And so the golden statue was put up in front of everybody, and they said, we're going to even bring in a band. Is the band here? Where are the musicians? If you just, at least, yeah. Did we have a drummer today? No. Could we have, if anyone who was on a musical instrument, Derek, if you're here, you can. If you're not holding Theodore, just grab an instrument real quick. Here's what we want you to do. Here's what they said. They said, and if it, Mary Evelyn, if it's just you, you know it works. But like, yeah, here it goes. We want some thump and bump in here. Yeah. So, yeah, the whole thing. So he decided that he was going to have himself a little church. And so he was going to make a golden idol. And he said, I don't care that you worship Jesus. When you see the idol and when you hear the music, I want you to bow down. And then that's where Rakshak and Benny said, what? Yeah. And so they said, what? They said, I'm sorry. Wow, this is great. I said, I'm sorry, but I can't. I won't. I won't. Right over here, could you say this whole section right here, say, I can't. And then could you take, since they did Rack, you take Shacks, say, I won't. And then the third group, they said, even if he doesn't, we won't. Try it one more time. I can't. I won't. Even if he doesn't, I won't. Try it without me saying it. Ready? Even if he doesn't, I won't. That's good. Here's what they said. They said, when you hear that music playing, I want you to get up there and I want you to bow down. Bow down. And then Rakshak and Benny said, stop the music. They said, oh. You see? The problem was this, and if you could put up my slides, the problem is this. Come on. Here it is. The king said, anybody who doesn't bow down and worship this idol is going to be thrown in a furnace, and they're going to be killed. This coming weekend, my trip to Lebanon and to Jordan was canceled. Because of the war that's going on there. We're praying for friends who are both Arabs and Christians on both sides. Some of them are risking their life for their faith. You and I, we sometimes don't come to church because we don't feel like it. They go to church at the threat of their own life. And there are eyes watching us. There are things in this world that will ask you to bow down and worship it. And what you need is the conviction of Rakshak and Benny, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that'll say this. See? Because they said to the king, they said, I'm not doing it. I can't, I won't. Even if he doesn't, I don't. I'm not going to bow down and worship your idol. I worship the Lord, and him only do I serve. And they threw him in the fire. And as they were in the fire, the Bible says that it was so hot, the guards that went to throw them in died. That's how hot it was. And then when they put them in there, the king got up and he looked in and he couldn't believe his eyes, because as he was staring into the furnace, true story, by the way, true story. As they look into the furnace, there aren't three men, but the king says, I don't see three men, I see four, and one looks like the Son of God. You see, Jesus went into that furnace with them, and they went through that trial, and they said, even if God doesn't deliver us from the fires of your furnace, we still will not bow down and worship your God. You see, boys and girls, women and children, immature parents and adults, The truth of the matter is that this world, whether openly or overtly, is constantly trying to get you to bow your schedule, to bow your finances, to bow your drives and desires in such a way that serves yourself and worships the God of this world. But if you are going to be a follower of Jesus in this life, it is not easy. There is suffering. There is threat of death in some cases. And you need to have the kind of faith like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had that say this and scream it out. Excellent. Let's give it up for the musicians. Thank you. Thank you. And that's what we're talking about here. And what I'd like to do is give you a Bible verse. So here's what I'd like to do. I need 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 adults. If you would just walk right up here. In fact, if you're really close to the front, this would help you. Yep, if you're pregnant, you can do it. 1 Peter 1:9, thank you. Hold that and hold it up so everybody can see it. Turn around, hold that up so everyone can see it. If you come right over on this side, sir, thank you. Hold this up, you can see it. Oh, just adults right now, honey. All questions must be submitted in writing 10 weeks in advance. So, all right, it's okay. Ready? Oh, you guys thought I'm mean? Yeah, would you? Thank you. Here's what I think the lesson you did. Could you hold those on the chair over there, right over there? Thank you. All right, so watch this. Here's what I want you to do. Read this out loud for the kids' sake, right, as I go over a card right here. Your faith. Okay, everybody say this with me. Your faith, give me that slide actually where the Bible verse is on it, would you? Sorry about that. It's in big, yeah, there it is. Here it is. So your faith will be like gold that has been tested in fire. 1 Peter.
You have 1:7.
1:7? It's, can I see that for a second? It's 1:7. Can you remember that? Say with me, 1 Peter 1:7. Say with me again. Okay, ready? Here we go. Your faith be like gold that has been tested in fire. 1 Peter 1:7. That's pretty good. I'm going to take this away. Thank you. Stay right there. Stay right there. Your suit's too good. You got to stay up here. All right. I might even take yours too. All right. So here it is. Let's try it. We're trying to memorize a Bible verse. Here we go. Your faith... gold. First. Yeah, that's pretty good. Let's try this one. Okay, and we'll try this one. Here we go. You ready, kids? Let me hear you. You. All right, here we go. Let's try it without that. Everybody take a deep breath in. Here, let's hear it. Let's shout it so that they hear us all the way in Tokyo. Here we go. Your faith. Give yourselves a hand. Thank you so much, guys. You can have a seat.
I think that was for the donation.
Oh, she pointed out there's some money on the stage. He said it's for the donation thing. Yeah. Actually, your pastor never handles money. We have three ways that you can give. You can give by the boxes on the side right over here. You can give through the envelopes there. You can give online. But the easiest way is to text NECC to 97,000, and that will help us out because nobody gives the church money except the church people, and that's how we do what we do. So thank you so much. Two offering pitches right there in one Sunday. All right. I need to see everybody sitting up straight, hands in your laps, your mouths closed, your eyes looking forward at me, because we are about to enter into the most important part of service. Today, we have cotton candy. We have popcorn. Let me say the first one again. We have cotton candy. We have popcorn. But we need to be sitting up straight with our hands in our laps and our mouths closed, because nobody wiggling, jiggling, talking to your neighbor, hitting your friend, because if we do, Pastor Paul is going to have to pop a balloon. If he pops a balloon, and I won't do it because I can see some of you don't like balloons popping, do you? I don't either. I'm going to just do it really gentle-like here. And if that happens, it will gradually, slowly leak out. And it's okay. Some of us are in church for the first time, so we're learning how to sit up straight with our hands in our laps, our mouths closed, our eyes looking forward, no wiggling, jiggling, talking to your neighbor, hitting your friends. If that continues, girls, and I need to pop a second balloon, something's wrong. Because we've already learned how we ought to behave in church and how we ought to pay attention to the teachers at school and the leaders and our moms and our dads. And our moms and our dads, giving that plug for you twice, parents. But if I have to pop the third balloon, girls, you are in deep sneakers, or in this case, deep skeechers. Because if I have to pop the fourth balloon, you go home with nothing, nada, zip. And the cotton candy or the popcorn that could have been, should have been yours is no longer yours, but I move it from the ladies to the men who go home not with one, but with two bags of stuff. Is that good, gentlemen? Yeah. It seems it would be good. However, gentlemen, if you are wiggling, jigging, talking to your neighbor, hitting your friend, I may have to pop a balloon. If I do, it's okay. Some of us are in church for the first time. We're learning how to behave, and it's okay. But if that continues, I need to pop the second one. Something's wrong. Because if I have to pop the third balloon, gentlemen, you are in deep skeechers. Deep sneakers, because if I pop the fourth one, you go home with nothing, not a zip, and the cotton candy that could have been, should have been, would have been yours is no longer yours, lady, but it goes right here to the men who not only eat one bag of cotton candy, but two, or one bag of popcorn, two. So we are about to get into the most important part of service. And so I'm going to ask for two men to come up here real quick that have been up here before. Just help me. I need to just bring, not, never mind. I'm going to work with it. And we're going to put our hands to our side. We're going to bring them up together. We're going to bring them down. We're going to bow our, we're going to close our, we are going to close our, because we're going to talk to Jesus, and we're going to start. Balloons are open season after this. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for these kids. Thank you for these families. When you pictured heaven, you said it's a place where children are playing in the streets. Play is part of heaven. Help us to remember that. And Lord, I just thank you for the families that are here, and I pray that today would just be blessed. This month would be blessed. This season, spring and summer, would be blessed, and the greatest year our church has ever seen would be before us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, if you're deaf, you say it like this. Try that with me. Now, if you're really excited, you can go, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you're deaf, you can't talk, right? Well, you're not mute, but you don't say it. Ready? Try it. I had a whole bunch of kids in our youth group that were from the deaf church, and they heard, but their parents couldn't. And I said, you must get away with everything. And they're like, no, they feel us open the window. So, I need help from three people real quick, since we're talking about Rack Shack and Benny here today. So, I'm going to do, if we could actually, let me see, I'm going to pick you right out of the crowd. Yep, Kyle, if you'd come up, Derek, if you'd come up, two guys, actually. And so I want to show you something about your faith that God says will be like gold that has been tested in the fire. There's a picture in there that I'd like to show you. If you're up there in the media booth, give me a wave. If you're in the media booth, there's a pot of gold in there boiling. Show them that real quick, would you? This is gold in a pot. And the word test, how many of you, when you hear the word test, you get really nervous at school, right? Like, am I going to pass? Am I going to fail? Don't worry, it has nothing to do with that. Testing gold actually is what you do. You boil it. And when you boil it, because gold is so heavy, it settles to the bottom, but all the impurities go to the top. And while it's wet, while it's soft, you skim that off. It's called dross, slag. And you take it out, and this is how gold gets purer and purer and purer. So I don't know about these people that say that if you let Jesus become Lord of your life, that you'll never have problems, all your troubles will go away. The Bible says that your faith will be like gold tested in fire. So I don't think the problems go away. I think the problems that kids, whether it's a bully at school, whether it is a brother or sister where you have tension and fighting, whether it's a difficulty of something that you don't feel that you can do, it's not a chance for you to quit. It's not a chance for you to just get angry. It's a chance for you to say, God, you're testing my life. You're turning up the heat. It's not so that you can make me feel bad, but that you can take the things out of me that need to go. And that's pretty amazing. Now, check this out. Here, if you guys could come right over here. You think these guys are strong? If you don't believe me, come up here. They'll punch you, and you can put that to the test. But here's what I'd like you to do. We're going to take this, and I want you to overlap it. You grab that one. And now this one, we come over here. Okay. Tug on that a little bit, if you would. That's good. That's good. Okay. And so now, what I want you to do is, real quick, if you would tie my hands like a shoelace right there. You go that way, and you go this way. Maybe one of you could do it. Derek, you can do it. Just tie a shoelace. Tie it. Tie that first. No, not with the bow. Not bunny. The rabbit doesn't go through the hole yet.
Here we go.
You don't tie your shoes?
No.
Oh, you just have like, no, tie that tight. Really tight.
Really tight. Okay.
Really tight. All right. Now, no, not like that. One more of those knots. Okay. Give me one more of those knots.
Square knot.
Now it's a square knot. Okay. I love it. So Derek is pretty good at this. And pull those together. Okay, so that's pretty tight. That's pretty good. All right, if each of you would take a corner of that and hold that up in front of me. Now, the Bible says that, thank you, man, that the Bible says that the boys, Rak, Shag, and Benny, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were, and you can pull that up a little bit higher, they were put into the fire, and the Bible says that while they were in the fire, their hands were tied. Could you lower that just a little bit? Thank you. And the Bible says that when they were in there, that they, this is the crazy thing about it, the Bible says that when they were in the fire, that their hands were tied, just like my hands were tied, and then when they went in there, the fire burned the ropes off of them, but not the smell of smoke was on their hand. Look at that. Isn't that incredible? Oh, man. Thank you very much. All right. That's pretty incredible. Here's what I wish that, I'll keep going back and forth here, but check this out. This is my wonder table. I love this. Here's something I'd like. Have you guys ever seen binoculars? Oh, I love that shirt. So nice. These binoculars, which they're pretty cool. You got to come up here. Would you come up here real quick? Yeah. She doesn't have any stage fright. This might be one of our elders one day. You just don't know, right? So like, it's a little dark in here, but if you take those and look towards the back, put them right up to your eyes, you can see people up close. See it? Is that pretty cool?
Yeah.
Okay, you could go sit down. Okay. All right, thank you. All right, so I think, just like I have binoculars and I can see far down the road, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to look at life and they were able to say to themselves, one day in the future, I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to have to give an account of my life. And he's just going to ask me, what did you do with your faith? Did you trust me in the difficult place? Or did you just give in and hide and blend in the crowd and did what you wanted? Did you just go to church and serve me when it was convenient? Or did you do it when it cost you something? Did you live for me or did you live for yourself? And I believe, just like a pair of binoculars, they were looking down the road and they were saying, it's not yet. It's way down the road, but one day I'm going to have to see cotton candy. I see cotton candy. Hold on. Sorry. Attention deficit. One day I'm going to see God up close. And I need to live my life in such a way. And you know what, adults? That's something that we forget. And that is why Rack Shack and Benny said this. I can't. I can't. Try it one more time. Even if he doesn't, I don't. They said this. They said this to him. They said, that fire's really hot. You could put the Bible verse back up if you would in the screen there. He said, even, hold on. Boys, I need to see everybody sitting up straight. Hands in your laps. Your mouths closed. Listen, it's okay. Some of us are here for the first time. It's all right. It's okay. Yeah. And they're little ones, so they don't count, but we gotta be, you know. Yeah. So here's what I think they saw. They said this to him. They said, even if God, they said to us, our God can save us from that fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow down to your idol. Boys and girls, there are gonna be lots of things that are going to ask you to maybe not get down and go like this, but you're going to have friends that are going to say, come on, just do it. And something inside of you is going to say, that's not right. This is wrong. When you become an adult, you begin to say, this is sin. Things like the commandments that God gave us, you shall not steal. Honor your mother and father. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. God must be first in your life. There's nobody that can say that they've made God first in their life at all times. There's nobody that can say that they have 100% honored their parents. There are some people that can say they haven't murdered anybody. There are so many people that have taken things that don't belong to them. Those things are sin, and we need to be doing the right thing when nobody's looking. So when we are standing in front of temptation and we are standing in front of people that want to destroy our relationship with Jesus, we can look at them and we say, I can't, I won't, and even if God doesn't save me from this, I don't do it. I won't. I can't. You see, it's not just about looking down the road. It's also, I love this. I get to play with fire in church today. There's one truth at work here today. It's okay, it's a Jesus candle. Did I ever talk to you about my pyromaniac past? Or my pyromaniac present? Check this out. Boys and girls, women and children, what does this say? Not yet, not yet, not yet. You could dim it down a little bit though, that would help me. Thank you. Yes, faith. Now the Bible verse that we have, let's put it back up there. If you would read that out loud to me, let me hear it again. Your faith will be tested like in a fire. 1 Peter 1:9, 1:7, sorry. Here's the thing about faith. There's a gospel that's out there, and I'm not worried about fighting with people out there who believe differently, but the Bible that I read tells me that I will go through trials, that I will go through difficult things, and sometimes God will deliver me from them, but even if he doesn't, I will not bow down to those things. And the Bible says that your faith, and this is what was really at stake for them, their faith and trust, their hope and belief in Jesus, the Bible says that their faith would be tested. And they said, we can't, we won't, oh yeah, turn down that fire. I love fire. I don't know why, but I just do. Boys and girls, let me tell you something. I almost killed my entire family once because I played with fire. Don't ever play with fire. Don't ever, until you're an adult, touch stuff. But the devil, let me tell you what he'll do. He'll try and burn your trust in Jesus. He'll say, well, if that's what being a Christian is, I don't want to. Well, if that person's a Christian, I'm not going to do that. I don't think so. Well, you know what? The thing about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was this. They said, I can't, I won't, and even if he doesn't, I don't. They wouldn't bow down. They weren't saying, only if God does something good for me, only if God brings me through unharmed, I'll do it. They were willing to die for their faith, and that's the thing that's incredible about these guys. Because when they were on the line and their faith was being burnt, the Bible says that God brought them through to the other side, safe and trusted and protected. And if you're over the age of 18 and you didn't get this trick, I'm happy. Let's say it one more time. Your faith will be like gold that has been tested in a fire. Listen, your faith and your trust in Jesus isn't what gets you out of trouble. It's what helps you get through difficulty. Do you hear me, church? We may have a time in our country where it may not be free to be a Christian. Right now, the trip that I was going to take next week to Lebanon and to Jordan got canceled because of the pending war, and so we have to wait. But in those places, there are people that are saying, no, I can't, I won't, and even if I suffer, I don't bow down to anyone except Jesus. That's the kind of faith we need. That's the kind of faith we need in churches. That's the kind of faith that we need to change lives. The Bible talks about faith being like a shield. And the Bible describes our faith as a shield of faith. And what the soldiers would do is they used to cover their shield in water. And the enemies, they would take darts, they would take arrows, and they would put cloth on the end of them, and they would shoot them at the soldiers, and their shields, as they hit it, because they were soaked in water, they would put the fiery darts out. You see, the devil's gonna not shoot an arrow at you, but what he is gonna do is shoot a thought into your head. Well, if God was really good, Grandpa wouldn't have died. And then that's when you hold up this shield and you say this, I can, I won't, even if he doesn't, I don't. And that puts that out. You see, we're not looking for a faith that keeps us from trouble. We're looking for a faith that brings us through the difficulty. Good enough is the enemy of the best. I got a couple of friends that are going to help me out, and we're going to bring this to a close here real quick. If they could make their way up here. Here's the, there's three of them. Kayla, here's the other part. You see, just as much as the devil uses fire, I've come to find that the devil just takes what God has and tries to make it his own. But the Bible says that God is a consuming fire. In fact, when he helped the children of Israel get out of trouble, he actually led them through the desert at night as a pillar of what? Does anyone know what that was? A pillar of fire. Do you know what fire does? Shut those lights off for a second. Check this out. You can turn them down. You can shut those ones. Yeah, check it out. Okay, look at this. Look at this. The Bible says that it was a pillar of fire by night. It actually brought them warmth, because in the desert it's 100 in the day and it can be 30 degrees at night. I've camped out in the desert over there. It's like that. But the Bible says that he was like a pillar of fire. And here's the thing. Years later, in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, the Bible says when the day of Pentecost had fully come and the Spirit of God fell on them, it says that over their heads appeared tongues of fire. Look at this. Over one person over there was fire. Over one person over here was fire. There was fire going all over the place. And again, don't play with fire, boys and girls. This is special kind of stuff, and I'm trained in this. I have a lifetime of experience. But the amazing thing, true story, if you were there on the day of Pentecost, you wouldn't have seen a pillar of fire over the sanctuary. You would have seen fire over the people. And the New Testament says it like this. Don't you know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit and that God's Spirit dwells inside of you? Don't you know that? Do you know what's amazing is that we're not just shooting prayers up to God and crossing our fingers that he'll come down to our help, that God wants to fill you with his power and his presence. And this was the incredible thing, and I'll do this if you guys are ready, yeah? Check this out. As they began to have fire appear over them, something began to happen with their mouths. Go ahead and check this out. As that happened, they were talking, and no longer was she speaking in Indian, but then she starts speaking in Swahili, and she was not just speaking in English, she starts talking in Japanese, and the Bible says that they began to speak in other tongues, and everybody that was in there, how many of you speak Swahili? Say, yes. How many of you speak Arabic? Say, yes. How many of you speak Hebrew? Say, lo. No, if you said that, it means no, you don't. There were all these languages. Give it up for these girls. That was incredible. You guys are good magicians. Listen, here it is. Everybody sitting up straight, hands in your laps. Nope, not yet. Your mouths closed, your eyes looking forward at me. No wiggling, jiggling, talking, neighbor, hitting your friends. You and I, and I'm going to ask Mary Evelyn if she'd come up. I'm going to bypass that thing I was going to do, but this is perfect, Pastor Dylan. I'm not the best at looking ahead. In fact, my whole life, people would say, where do you want to be in 5 years? And the truth of the matter is that no matter what I said, it never went that way. I've learned to get where God wants me by following him, by following Jesus, by reading his word, by trusting him, by letting him lead me. I feel that we're a church where we need to understand that our faith in Jesus doesn't get us out of problems. Sometimes it will, if they're evil problems that are trying to destroy us, but that we use difficulty to allow us to get closer to Jesus, even if it hurts. You see, when I married my wife, say it with me again, kiss, kiss, kiss. Let's see if she'll come in. Kiss, kiss. No, she's out there, but she will ignore it. I didn't take my wife. I chose my wife. And she's my favorite wife. She's my only wife. And by God's grace, we'll spend our last days together. But here's the thing. When we gave our vows to each other, we said, I have chosen my love and I have loved my choice. And even in our marriage, we've had moments where we're like, I wish we weren't married. I don't know if any of you out there are married and are honest enough to say that or raise your hand, but how many of you have been married for the sake of our younger people and say there are moments where I said, I wish I wasn't married to that person. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. My wife had done that so many times. I can't take it. He's so wild and crazy, and I'm so quiet and introverted. Trusts, people get hurt. But you see, here's the thing about serving Jesus and following Jesus. You have to choose him. You have to choose him. You have to choose him. Nobody's going to do it for you. I don't care if you got a grandma that used to bring you to church. That means nothing. I don't care if you sing songs and you have tears drop down in your eyes, but then you find yourself, and I'll say this over the head, you find yourself getting rest in another person's house in their room where they sleep. That means nothing. I don't care if you say, I love Jesus, but this or but that, or, you know, I love Jesus, but I hate my brother. I love Jesus, but you know what? I'm going to borrow that from them and take it. That doesn't mean anything. You have to choose not only Jesus, but you have to choose to live for Jesus. Every day I wake up, everybody's like, oh, I need a Savior. Jesus, be my Savior. I wake up every day and I need a Savior every day because every day I want to do things that aren't right. Sometimes I don't have a good day and I disappoint Jesus. But guess what? When you invite Jesus into your life, he brings to you grace. And if you're willing to say, God, I'm not the person I should be. I don't love my brother. I don't love my sister. I'm not doing the things I ought to. But if you'll forgive me, I'm going to continue to allow you to help me to become the person you want me to be. He holds his hand out with love and grace and helps you up and says, you've got this. You've got this. There isn't a person in this place that is perfect. There isn't a person in this place that is going to be able to walk into heaven and say, I deserve this. There isn't a person in this place that hasn't made a mistake this week, this month, this year. And this is the problem with Christianity, boys and girls. It's this. It's that we think we get to heaven because we are good boys and girls. It's not. It's because we choose Jesus even when we're not. You gotta choose him. You gotta choose him. Right now, I'd ask for every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed, every mouth to be quiet here. And you're maybe in church here for the first time and you're like, this place is nuts. But I love the fact that the pastor loves fire. But you're here, and as I'm talking, your heart's beating faster. Tears are welling up in your eyes because you're making mistakes. And you're thinking that God doesn't want you because you're not like Rack Shack and Benny when you say, I can, I won't, even if he doesn't, I don't. You're doing. Here's the thing. This is why Jesus came. He came to forgive us. If you're here today with your eyes closed, respecting the privacy of others, and you're that person, you'd say, Pastor, please pray for me that God would help me. I need his grace. I'm not the person I ought to be, but I want his grace. I need his forgiveness. I need his love. If you would just quietly slip your hand up with everyone's eyes closed and just let it down. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see it. I see it all over this place. All over this place. You see, the cross is where Jesus came to give grace to the world. A friend of mine said this just recently. He led somebody to Jesus who was a Muslim from a country in the Middle East. I won't say what it is because people watch and they might be able to connect the dots. But he said to him, he said, listen, he said, if I become a Christian, my family's going to disown me. And worse, the chances is that if I might get killed, they might take my life. But if I die, I go to be with Jesus forever? He says, you mean to tell me the worst thing that can happen to me is that I would be with Jesus forever? He says, of course I want Jesus. Now here's the thing, boys and girls, moms and dads, parents, nobody's trying to kill you. Nobody's trying to hurt you. But there are things that are trying to burn your faith up in the fire. God wants to strengthen your faith. God wants to build your faith. It says, building up your most holy faith. He wants to do it. And while there's a kid here that is totally unashamed to bounce around in the front and hit a balloon and is feeling totally accepted and free, I'd like for you to take a dare for a second and not come up here and bounce a balloon, but you would come up here and you would take a knee. And you would say, Jesus, I'm not the person I ought to be, but I don't want to be the person I am. I want to be a person of faith. Maybe you've been a Christian your whole life. Maybe you've been in ministry. It really doesn't matter because I need a daily Savior in my life, just like you do. So here's what I dare. Stand to your feet across this room. Here's what I dare. I dare you to be as uninhibited as those children bouncing balloons around here. I dare you to trust that you have a God and a Father in heaven who knows every fault and failure and flaw in your life and still loves you. I dare you to believe that there's a God in heaven that saw there was a time where you were close to him and you're far away from him. And now he wants to come close again to you again. He wants to help you with the things you need help with. And he wants to put a faith in you that will go through the fire, not get burnt up in it. My challenge to you is this. The second that I walk away from this platform, you walk from your seat and you do business with God here. And maybe you've never done this before, but that really doesn't matter because everybody's business with God is different. If you've been in high church culture, you know how to make it look really good. But I'll tell you what, some of the most beautiful repentance I've ever seen is somebody walks into a church for the first time and is like, God, I'm a mess. Forgive me, a sinner. And that person gets close to God like that, while that pastor is still so far away because of their pride. Swallow your pride. Find a place and say, God, strengthen my faith. I can't, I won't. Even if he doesn't, I don't. God bless you.
We'd like to invite you to come and pray and worship with your family. You can come to the front if you need some space. This is just a time of family worship as we sing a blessing over you.
Just be mindful as we pray over one another. We're a church family. Maybe you're next to somebody that's a friend. That would work too. But Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would help us to be a church that's a family and is a family of faith, that we would be a community that would have the blessing of God upon it. That, Lord, that you would bless us and keep us, that you turn your face towards us and you'd shine upon us, Lord. We love you. We thank you today. Lord, we ask that there would be nobody in this place that would believe the lie that they are alone, that they are in the fire, left and abandoned by God. I pray that you would even put us in the fire with them, that we would walk into the furnace as friends, that we would walk into difficulties, that we would share our burdens and our sorrows, we would divide our pain and we'd multiply joy, that we would be a church and a family that blesses one another. And so today, as we go our way, as we continue to sing this and we make our way out, I pray that we would go with the blessing of God, and that we would go with the truth to know that we can, we won't, and even if he doesn't, we don't bow to the things of this world, but that you would make us people of faith, strong and true in Jesus. As we go here, we just release you. We ask you to be mindful of the traffic, to be mindful of your children. Please keep them beside you and close, and be responsible for them. But if you haven't signed up for the men's breakfast, it's there. We have a photo booth out there. You can get your picture taken. You can walk outside while traffic goes, grab cotton candy. But we bless you in the name of the Lord. God bless you.
May his favor be upon you.
Thank you again for being with us today. To listen to our messages, follow us on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, and go to ne-cc.org for all news, events, and updates. Thank you, and God bless.